Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management and Blackridge Asset Management LLC. Peak Broker Services LLC is not an affiliate of Independent Solutions or Financial Guys LLC.
You're listening to The Financial Guys.
We're $23 trillion in debt, honey. We don't have an extra surplus of money.
Newsflash, guys. Stop attacking businesses, because when all the businesses are gone, nobody's going to pay your salary anymore. You get that?
If the goal is to create a loser mentality, you're winning.
I'm going to build a big, beautiful wall with a big, beautiful door. Well, guess what? We have a big, beautiful door, all right? It's the wide
it's
open southern border, right?
Yeah.
Here's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
Welcome back to the Financial Guys podcast. Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle. We are the Financial Guys. This is the place where money meets politics. Many of you have listened to us on radio throughout different markets in the country, but I still say this is a new format for us. Probably, what, Rochelle, like 7-8 months into this, 6 months into this? Has it been that long? Longer?
I think February we started, something like that, right around February.
All right.
We've definitely come a long way from a video standpoint and a quality standpoint, but we're not done yet. We have a couple more pieces of equipment. I actually got the quote in last week from our friends and engineers over at WBEN helping us out with some of this equipment, and we're going to keep making this smoother and better each and every week.
Still learning, and like you said, we will get better, just like radio. Took us, what, 20 years to
Sucked. Yeah, for 3 years, we were just horrible.
now we're just okay.
So we're 8 months in, so you got another 2 years before we actually get good at this. No, I'm just kidding.
subscribe to our YouTube channel, by the way, and listen to our podcast, financialguys.com, by the way, everything on our website. So all over the place, so locally here in Western New York, Glenn, and actually it's hitting the national news now, Lloyd's Taco Truck apologized because they went to the Batavia Detention Center, which is a short drive east of Buffalo, New York. Unfortunately to them, I guess, they were apologizing because they sold... It was amazing to me is they actually offered, I guess, lunch to the workers there. And then some of the lefties out there criticized that. You know, what they were criticizing was the fact that the prisoners actually didn't get the right to buy Lloyd's as well. It blows my mind. Like, you're in a prison.
Right.
But so, of course, they come out and apologize. And then, you know, I don't want to know. I don't even think it was right-wing conservatives. I think it was people with a brain that said, hey, you're criticizing the very people that protect us, right? That, you know, these are not... Boy Scouts that they put in there. These aren't people that they rounded up off the streets and just grabbed out of nowhere. These are MS-13 gang members. These are bad, bad people. And not only are they doing us a huge favor by detaining these people, they're following the law, which is a big deal, right? And they're putting their lives on the line every day. So, of course, Lloyd's soon realized that left-wing liberals don't tend to spend their own money. They want to spend other people's money. And I was at the Buffalo Bills game this week, and as I walked by the Lloyd's truck, I realized nobody was there. And I thought, well, good for them. They made a political statement. They decided which side they wanted to be on. We happen to decide to be on the conservative side, and we make no bones about it. We say, look at in our financial planning offices, this is who we want to tailor to. This is who we want to work with. And we've had a lot of criticism throughout the years where people say, you're half the folks out there. You're just, not even having the opportunity to work with. And we say, well, really, not really, because really only about 20% of them actually have money. So
Well,
we're not really getting rid of half of our clientele. We're getting rid of a very small part of our clientele. Yeah. And plus the liberals, by the way, we have a rule where we don't have a minimum in any of our financial planning offices. We will help somebody with $100 a month. Unless you're a left-wing liberal, and then you need $1,000,001 to come into our office, because you've always sent us emails that said, you were just about ready to bring in $1,000,000, and so shame on us. But, of course, they came out this week and apologized for the apology, but they didn't actually apologize to the darn workers.
No, they couldn't have made this... They've just made themselves – the more they talk, the more they dig themselves a hole. So they came out last Wednesday, right? They went out to – first of all, they were brought into the Batavia ICE detention facility, right? There's 300 workers there. 50% of them are veterans, a lot of subcontractors, doctors, nurses, veterans, all kinds of folks there doing the best job that they can to take care of these prisoners, right? They came out Wednesday and said, oh, my God, we made a mistake. They were called in by the executive director there, Tom Feely, because as he put it in his conversation with Tom Barley last Friday on WBEN, He said it's a tough job, right? Our the morale is oftentimes down, and it's a tough thing to have to deal with prisoners all the time in a prison setting like that. And you know, one of our employees came up with a great idea of bringing a different food truck every week to kind of lighten the mood. And so we brought in Lloyd's on Wednesday. And Wednesdays is kind of food truck day. And, of course, I'm sure they got a couple of, you know, of folks that probably either work for them or folks that saw the news or whatever and complained about it, right? Two or three,
I'm sure. My guess is not more than three.
Right, so they come out like most places do, and they immediately, you know, kowtow and virtue signal to these, you know, left-wing groups that are militant in a lot of ways, right? I don't care if it's the immigrant community or, you know, you name it, right? You know, the LGBT community or whatever. They're vicious in their attacks when they go after folks like this. And and I'm sure they, you know, they backed out. Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. So they come out and they put this apology statement out on Facebook, which absolutely just steps right in it. Right. And so, you know, they really just insult all of the people working at this place. Well, the nail in the coffin really was the statement that the executive director put out, which absolutely destroyed them. And then going on Tom Bowerly and going through some of the, you know, statistics of the people there and saying, look, these people have. These are not families, they're not children, so let's get your facts straight, okay? These are people that are, number one, already broken the law by coming here illegally, but more importantly, have gone on to commit other crimes, murders, rapes, violent assaults, things like that. These people are, are criminals like no any other criminals. These just happen to be illegal alien criminals, that's all. No difference.
Yep.
But, you know.
They broke the law twice.
Or more than that even in certain cases. But you talk about how not to run a PR campaign. So Monday morning they come out, right, after the Bills debacle on Sunday. None of their food trucks got any business. They had a disastrous inside, from what I understand, inside the Bills game. Yeah. They come out on Monday and do a whole press conference to say, well, we can't, we didn't mean to be political. We'll never be political again. Nobody can survive in this hyper environment.
Too late for that.
I think, to be honest with you, people are drawing sides in this hyper environment all over the place. I don't care if you're the Red House Chicken Place in Virginia throwing out, you know, Sarah Sanders or whatever business are. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
You drew a side. You drew a side. You drew a side. And you know what? If you didn't want to draw a side, then you shouldn't have just responded to
these folks.
Should have kept
your mouth shut. Right. You should have ignored those folks and said, we'll take your comments into consideration in a private way.
Yep.
You didn't mean to make a Facebook post like that. You know, look, going back to our Channel 7 stint, right, we got basically kicked off the air because we brought a breaking news story about abortion from a New York State assemblyman reporting from the floor of the assembly after they were cheering that bill, and the couple of 2-3 phone calls they got was enough for them to say, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Again, these, you know, whatever group it is, you know, the militant pro-abortion group, right, screaming and yelling.
Threatening to never watch their station again.
Poetic justice, of course, is that both the executive, the person who ran that place, the general manager, as well as the sales manager, were both fired about 3 months later after the decision to remove us from the air. So I guess that's the way
let
irony
add,
works.
Let me add to that, Glenn, though. But we had the opportunity to pander to them. We had the opportunity. They asked us to calm the show down. That's what they said. Yeah. They said not even our anchors picked up on that full-term abortion show, so shame on you. And we had the opportunity to
shame
say,
on them.
Oh, my gosh, we're so sorry. Yeah, but we're so sorry we went overboard. You know what we told them? Take a long walk off a short pier. These are our values, and if you don't like it, too goddamn bad. Right?
But we also
and
told
Lloyd's
them.
Lloyd's could have done that, or Lloyd's could have come out and said, look it, that was really stupid. We are so sorry. Can we have it? We, first of all, give a discount to all those people or free tacos for the day or whatever and say, we are so sorry. We value what you do. We understand and appreciate what you do. They didn't do any of that. The only thing they were upset about is their little Elmwood Village truck got busted.
That's right.
And now they realize that's the only thing they're upset about is they realized, holy crap, conservatives are the ones that actually hired us for parties, right? And that's what happened. A lot of people like you and I who didn't really understand or ever care about their political views, we didn't ask about it. Now we know it. And now I'm saying, I don't want you at my house. So they're getting canceled and they're upset because it's hitting their pocketbook.
Yep, no
doubt. Go back to the Elmwood Village, who's very left wing over there, and ask them to make up the difference.
I think the damage is done. I don't think there's anything they can do at this point. There's no other statements they can make. The best thing they can do is just to lay low. But I think the damage is done for them. But you know, going back to Channel 7, you know, they told us, as you actually mentioned, that, you know, not even our staff picked up on it, and shame for them, right? Yeah. Shame on you guys.
Yep.
Like, seriously. Look, the media now, and I've said this a couple times now, the media from a national level, ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, all the way down now to their local affiliates, are being told by the DNC what the talking points are that they're allowed to cover in the news. They're being told what not to cover. They're being told what to black out and when to black things out. How many Epstein stories have you seen lately? How many stories on the Virginia governor with blackface or talking about afterbirth abortions? That fell off the news headline pretty quick, didn't it?
How about going all the way back to the Las Vegas shooting? Whatever happened to that?
Right.
Where is
Wipe
that
it
guy?
On the news. So the local
where
news right there. In fact, it was a great montage. I'll see if I can find it during one of the breaks if we have a chance. There's a great montage of all of the media right down to the local level talking with the same exact talking points. It's a congressional, you know, crisis. You know, it's a constitutional crisis, 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 crisis. I'll find that clip if we take a break and see if we can play it because it's ridiculous. So.
Speaking of the media, I think it was the Washington Post this week, but Trump confirms ISIS leader Baghdadi is dead after U.S. raid in Syria. Now, they came out, and their post was a religious scholar.
Yeah. Isn't that great? Isn't that awesome?
It was a spoof on, we were talking about it. It was a spoof on CNN, which I couldn't help but laugh. It said, Trump kills father of three, unprotected,
right.
or unarmed father of three.
Yeah, the original WAPO headline was Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, austere religious scholar, at helm of Islamic State, dies at 48. And you can see what these left-wing brains are, right? There was a roundtable on NPR that I heard earlier this morning where they were just going around. They're talking about how great of a leader he was and, you know, how he stepped up.
A leader.
Really was able
a
to
leader.
Bring millions of people together
guy,
and blah, blah,
this
blah.
This guy burned.
So crazy.
Didn't he burn one of them?
He burned people alive.
In
yes.
Alive.
Multiple people.
Yeah. Burn people alive.
Yeah,
this guy
vicious.
Is the biggest
By the way,
scumbag.
Let me tell
I
you
hope
this.
There's a special
here's what
spot
the media,
in hell for him.
But here's what the media is not reporting. The media is not reporting anywhere, NPR, Washington Post, or anywhere else, that Obama let this guy go in 2009. Have you seen that report anywhere? Because that's the truth.
No.
That's the
that's
truth.
Right.
But again,
that's
talk
right.
about media blackout. Now, the media cannot
talk
about that.
And by the way, after that. And by the way, after that, Hillary Clinton, all of them said this guy needs to go. He's a clear scumbag, right?
Yep.
So Trump, by the way, we say this week after week after week. Please, Elizabeth Warren, please be the candidate. You know,
any of them, really. I don't care which one.
Any
it is.
Of them.
I mean, they're all jokes.
Any of them.
They're all jokes.
Joe, I just assume Joe's not going to be the candidate.
Joe got refused. Joe goes to a church. Now, you think that his staff would check ahead of time. We talked on Saturday about how he made a speech and then the Republicans stole the website, right, for Condé Nast Biden or whatever it is. But it's not Condé Nast. I made that up. But. I don't speak Spanish. But anyway, so he goes to this church now. I didn't mean that.
Was that supposed to be Spanish?
Yeah, it's supposed to be Spanish. It was something like that. You know, Todos con Biden or something like that. Whatever it is, doesn't matter.
See if we can edit in. Close enough.
Close enough. But he goes to this church in South Carolina, wherever he is, and he gets refused communion. He goes up to
black,
the pasture.
Was that a black?
Yeah.
A black church,
and the guy
right?
goes,
inner
no.
city black church?
He says, no, you don't hold up the ideals of the Catholic Church or the Christian faith. You're out.
By
why wouldn't
the way,
they check that ahead of time? Right? You'd think they would check that. The staff would. No.
Absolutely love the fact that you're finally seeing the inner city black community step up and say enough is enough, right?
Yep.
Kanye, was it Kanye West? Am I saying that right?
Kanye West.
I'm
not Condé Nast, but Condé West. Or Kanye West. Oh, boy.
Kanye West. You know, really, and it was, I think we posted it to our Facebook page, so like us on Facebook, but, you know, really talking about the problems in the inner city black community and saying, you know what, enough is enough. We don't have to vote Democrat, right? Your free turkeys aren't working anymore.
Right.
And what specifically
we
Kanye was
now.
Talking about
we got low unemployment,
is how
we got
the government, how welfare took the father out of the home. Yeah. So proud of you, Conway, Kanye, for having a set of stones. More and more of that needs to turn. You're starting to see more and more of that. Biden not getting support that normally he would get, right?
Yeah.
And Hillary got that support. Remember, she was in the Baptist church talking like, you know, the all of a sudden she found
way too tired.
Right.
Right.
So now,
too.
Now, fast forward a few years later, and they're telling Joe, I don't think you're welcome here. That's a good sign, right? That's a really good sign. That means that the inner city community is finally, hopefully, starting to get it. You're finally starting to get, after, what, decade after decade after decade, that redistributing wealth, that these all these welfare programs, they haven't done anything but redistributed money and never made anybody better. Not one person better. The war on poverty, right? Johnson, you know, how many years ago was that? 40 years ago? 50 years ago when we passed this legislation? Trillions of dollars later, and we have more poor people than we did back then, yep. Right? Just didn't work.
Well, so, these folks that are running for Congress or for president, I mean, you look at them, and they're all, you know, look at Biden. You've been there, Biden. Joe, you've been there for 40 years, man. You've been there for 40 years. 40 years. But suddenly, this time, he's going to fix the problem.
Yeah.
This time, he's going to get tough on Russia.
The only thing they've done, right, Department of Education, a miserable failure, right? Yeah. We've dropped from number one to like 17 or 20 or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Every department, nothing has happened except for massive amounts of money being redistributed, including, by the way, the only thing that they've been very successful at is putting money in their own pockets and putting money, and now it's intergenerational wealth, right? Mm-hmm. So it used to be, Harry Reid just made $10 million for himself. Right? $100,000 salary, $10 million for himself. Now you're starting to see them figure out that they can pass the wealth from generation to generation. So the Clintons are now working on that foundation, moving over to Chelsea Clinton, right? So you'll see that wealth just go from generation to generation. The Bidens have now figured out that, well, look at, I'm a poor guy. I've never made a lot of money, but Hunter somehow is figuring out a way to make 80, 90 grand a month by doing nothing, right? So now you're starting to see the Romney, who's one of the Rhino Republicans, right? So scared of Donald Trump. Well, why is he scared of him? Because now we're starting to figure out that he's figured out a way to take his political power and move it to his son, and now his son can make all kinds of money. It's really sad. Sad. You know, the days of being able to run for office and get out, you know, you'd serve your community, you'd serve whatever, you'd run for the assembly, you'd do whatever, you'd get in for 4 years and you'd get out, are gone. Now it's your son's going to take over the position.
No doubt. I found the clip of Hillary here. This is her southern twang. Let's see how she sounds.
I'm aware I may not be the youngest candidate in this race, but I have one big advantage. I've been coloring my hair for years.
For years.
Years.
What a loser.
Fast forward that a bunch of years later, and now they're saying, Joe Biden, you're not welcome.
You're not going to see me turn by the way, did you see? The White House.
Unreal. She's
now we won't see you in the White House. Thank God. Trump, by the way, in Chicago last week, and they were protesting. They booed him at the World Series game in Washington. There's a real shocker. Yeah,
because things are so good in Chicago. Trump was there, by the way, and I'm telling you what, he went down these statistics, and he just lambasted the former mayor, the current police chief, the current mayor. It's an absolute disaster there. We played a couple weeks ago the clip of the people in the common council meeting just saying, please don't raise our taxes again. Please. Can you just please find something to cut?
Find something to cut. And they weren't even listening. They weren't listening at all. They were like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. You know? I don't know
we're going to raise your taxes just about. It's a matter of how much we're going to raise them by.
So Trump is beating up on the Eddie Johnson, who's the police chief. And he should have been there, no doubt about it. But I believe it's the police chief that has accurately said repeatedly, like, listen, we know who these people are. It's not so much the police chief. I don't want to put this on the police chief. This is on the city leadership. This is on the prosecutors that refuse to prosecute these people. So the police go out and they arrest 13,000 shootings they've had this year, according to Trump, and what he reported. Like 1,700 murders. It's amazing. Yep. How come that's not reported? In fact, every Saturday, 13,000.
That's crazy.
Shoot, 13,000 people shot in Chicago. We should start doing every Saturday we do our radio show. We should start the show by doing the previous weekend's Chicago body count, because we used to do a little bit, and nobody's talking about that anymore. You know what I mean? Like nobody.
No, I agree.
Like we'll talk about one shooting somewhere, because it fits the narrative where, a troubled white kid that somehow got his hands on a gun and then you find out later that he wasn't really a right-wing kid. He bought the gun legally and he should not have been able to buy the gun, but we never updated anything in the background check system and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
But If it fits the narrative, that's all over the place, right?
But Chicago, yet every single night, there's blood in the streets and nobody cares.
It's crazy.
Nobody cares.
It's crazy what's going on in Chicago. The sad thing
including,
is,
by the way, including them. Yeah. You know, the president comes into town and they're booing the press. What are you booing the president for?
Right.
You know, look at Obama has been and his buddies have been in charge of the city for decades, right? And you're happy with that?
Right.
You're happy with the violence in the street? You're
crazy.
Happy with the 30% graduation rates in the inner city schools there? Is that that's a good
the teachers are now on strike
more
there.
Of that?
The teachers are on strike there, so the kids aren't even going to school.
It's never going to get fixed until it goes bankrupt.
You mentioned
it's never
teachers.
Going to get fixed until it goes bankrupt.
Let me just pivot just for a second. I want to mention this because this is really important, and we're not going to have time to really talk about this. Maybe we can talk about this a bit on the radio show this upcoming weekend or next week. Teachers union now training members to use identity politics in the classroom. If I sent you this article and you would read this, it would make you throw up on your shoes. I mean, I'm telling you what.
Wow.
If for anybody who, you know, keep a close eye on your kids, folks, if they're in public school and what they're learning in those public schools, because the American Federation of Teachers, not some, like, rinky-dink, you know, spinoff union, the American Federation of Teachers, the nation's second largest teachers union, took pages in its quarterly journal, The American Educator, to instruct members to incorporate liberal ideology in classroom teaching. So it goes on. They, you know, they took writings from, you know, a communist in here, a few others. They talk about in this report that they put in this publication that they put out to all their teachers. The College Fix pointed out that 44-page issue included 13 references to tolerance, 15 to equality, 32 to racial identity, 33 to racism, 34 to diversity, 39 to discrimination, 52 to prejudice, 54 to hate, 79 to identity, and 102 to bias. That's how many times they mentioned or pointed out those words inside of this particular
publication. And now in the state of New York, they're taking over the school boards as well. So
that's right. God exactly. Yeah. This is so if you missed this, by the way, folks, in New York State now, and this is probably going to happen, I'm guessing, across the country, the teachers' unions have realized that, you know, why do we need this whole check and balance thing? Nobody comes out for school board elections anyways. What they've done in places like New York is they have craftily put the school board elections as far away from the general election as possible. They do it like May, right? So nobody's paying attention. They usually get like less than 10% turnout, right? And so what the school board, what the teachers union has figured out is that, well, we'll field our own candidates. We'll support them financially. Nobody can compete. A little old school board member that's going to try to run to get on the school board doesn't have the kind of resources that we do. So we'll just fund our own candidates. We'll put our own candidates on the school board. And now we'll have our own hand-picked candidates. Now, Buffalo's been doing this for years. Now it's spreading to places like Sweet Home and Amherst. So now they'll have their own hand-picked board members to negotiate the contracts with when it comes time to their raises and benefits and things putting the criminals in charge of the prison. Exactly what you're doing.
Yeah, you won't see that, by the way, in states like Florida or Texas. No. They'll fight it, right? The conservative states will fight that. But, you know, in the liberal states, like the left-wing states, like, you know, of course, New York, Illinois, Chicago. That's why, Illinois, New Jersey, California. That's why I continue to say until they go bankrupt, until they actually really truly run out of other people's money and the debt gets called, it won't stop. It'll continue. The insanity will continue. And you'd think there's no way. But you just pick
it. Yeah, it does.
I mean, you would think in the school systems, the inner city school systems, I would think that if I found out my kids were going to a school and there was a very high probability that less than half of them would graduate, that they have a less than 50% chance of getting out of that school, there'd be no way in hell I'm sending my kids to that school. But yet they do, and they continue to support the same policies and now fight for more of the same. It's like, you know, the graduation rates went from 90% to 80. We want more of it. 80 to 70. We want more of it.
Well, what they're doing now is they're making up the numbers.
50 to 30. We want more of it. That's right. Well, now they change, of course. They change the numbers to make it a little bit better. But
and I got to say, there's a lot of folks in the inner city that are clamoring to get their kids into private schools or into charter schools, especially.
Or the charter schools.
And you know this because in New York City, and you see this, right, there is 1,000 plus people long waiting lists. These parents are, whether it be inner city or not, it could be Queens,
and there's
it could be Brooklyn, Harlem,
there's
whatever.
A shame of
They're
it, right?
dying the to shame get their kids in the better schools.
We're spending in the city of Buffalo $27,000-$28,000 a kid, and there's a waiting list for a school that we could open up and very easily run for $14,000-$15,000 a kid.
Or less.
We could save all kinds of money, and we'd get a much better education, and they just refuse to do it. Yeah. Let's end on a Tesla, by the way. Tesla, Elon Musk, new solar city faced a liquidity crisis at the time of the 2016 deal. When does the SEC get involved with this guy?
The SEC's covering up for him. I mean, I hate to say it, but let's be honest here. There was information. Information request. It should be public information. These are publicly traded companies. When Tesla, publicly traded company, bought out SolarCity, publicly traded company, people requested the data, and most of it was redacted. There was no reason for the SEC to so heavily redact a document that it should be public information for anyone to see. It's outrageous.
Who on Wall Street, by the way, doesn't eventually punish this stock? I mean, really, really punish it to the point where it's worth a buck a share or something, right?
I don't know.
I mean, you and I were running a company like this, and time again, the SEC was knocking at our door, and by the way, they found out that we purchased a company that we knew was in a liquidity crisis, but yet hid it, sealed the information, that stock would open up down 75% the first day.
I just don't get it. It's amazing. End the podcast, we got to talk a little bit about this clip from Akasha Cortez, because we talked about the black community and voting and everything else, and this is really shocking. So Zuckerberg, he used to be the liberals' favorite, right? Because he was suppressing conservative information. This clown, Akasha Cortez, she's asking, well, how come you don't, how come you guys don't monitor for fake news? I'm thinking to myself, honey, half the stuff you put out is untrue, right?
You are the fake
news. It's untrue. Yeah. It's untrue.
Yeah, he's still, by the way, a liberal, but as we've pointed out, rightfully so, by the way, about 6 to 8 months ago, we called this, that they would start eating their own. Now they're starting to eat their own, right? Because he's posting a little bit of the right-wing conservative stuff is getting through, they're outraged with him. So let's play this clip.
So she's talking about, I'll actually back it up a little bit so we can get a little bit of context, because I don't want to start right where it is. But eventually she asked the question about, what if, could a political operative advertise in a certain way? Oh, you mean like the climate change folks that make up the, the polar caps melting or the polar bears going under? But anyway, let me play a little bit.
Or what about the diseases that we're going to uncover?
Melting out of the ice caps,
scientists have ever actually found any diseases
Scientists are worried. Which ones? Because I haven't heard a single one of them. Anyway.
Or how about when you acted like the kids were in the cage, but they actually really weren't?
Right. They walked around the other side of it. Yeah, just the other side of the fence.
Right. But she forgot to play the video of the rats falling out of the ceiling in the district she lives in.
No,
the schools.
No, she won't play that one. Can't play that one.
Right, never posted that one on Facebook.
Where's my volume?
After we were aware of what happened.
Let me back this up a little bit.
Congresswoman, I don't know that often.
You don't know. This was the largest data scandal with respect to your company that had catastrophic impacts on the 2016 election. You don't know?
Catastrophic impacts.
Catastrophic impacts.
Because she lost.
Let me tell you something. The only reason she even had a shot was because of platforms like Facebook and their BS. That's the only way she had a shot.
Would they be talking about this at all if Hillary had won?
Yeah.
If Hillary had won, there's no hearings on Washington, right?
If she had won, they would love him. No. He would be wrapped in a bow. Let me get this straight.
The Russians allegedly bought $100,000 of Facebook ads, and that was the catastrophic meddling of the 2016 election. What a show.
It wasn't the fact that she smashed and wiped a server out and smashed her phones and bleached her phone.
Or hit 33,000 emails and the rest of it. What do you mean, with the cloth? I mean, she was so fake. She's falling downstairs. Her health is what a joke. Anyway.
Yeah.
You announced recently that the official policy of Facebook now allows politicians to pay to spread disinformation in 2020 elections and in the future. So I just want to know how far I can push this in the next year. Under your policy,
could I
pay to target predominantly black zip codes and advertise them the incorrect election date?
Oh, because the black folks aren't smart enough to know the date that they're going to vote.
Yeah, so you black folks that are listening to this podcast, by the way, Akasha Cortez just said that if we told you the wrong date for the election, you're too stupid to figure it out and you would show up on the wrong date.
That's right.
Now, we've joked about that with liberals in general, But if I said that about the black community and made a joke about, you know, what if, but she's not even joking. She seriously thinks this. She thinks that if a politician in a district like that put out false information on Facebook that the election date was changed, that the black community is too stupid to see right through that. That's what she just said.
Well, they've also said that they're too stupid to go get a license to show proof of who they are.
Right. Yeah, they couldn't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if I was a black person, I would be so insulted by this. It's not even funny. So you mean to tell me that I'm going to get a Facebook ad and I'm not going to be smart enough to maybe check the date? First of all, most of these folks that are involved politically are involved politically, right? They're helping candidates. They're talking about it out in the streets. They know the date that they're going to get, that we're going to vote. Shame on her. But so of course, she's got to throw the race card out there. And of course, the mainstream media just, you know,
eats it right
no
up.
Problem. Let her go. Yep. Yeah. I mean, when I say that, I would love to see what the backlash would be if we said, hey, just for the heck of it, just throw some Facebook ads out there with the wrong date. The black community will never figure out what they'll actually show up
on the wrong day. I mean, how insulting is that? This is why, by the way, that the black folks are leaving the Democrat Party in droves, because this kind of condescending insult, they're starting to be like, wait a minute now, I'm not stupid. Yeah. I know what the election date is. I know how to get a driver's license. Who was it? Like Jesse Waters that went down to New York City streets and started asking black folks, do you have ID? Yeah, of course I have ID. Well, the Democrats
would you be able to
you won't be able to use that ID.
Are you smart enough to pull it out and show somebody if they ask you to vote? Yeah.
I mean, they're all insulted. Like, of course I have ID. Yeah. I don't think he found anybody who didn't have ID. I mean, what a joke.
By the way, let's finish on a hypocrite of the week note. Harrison Ford, did you see this? Hollywood's most famous climate crusader.
Yeah.
He flies planes,
by the way. He's a plane flyer. He's a big fan of that.
Yeah, he owns multiple extravagant homes, and he owns 12 private planes, Glenn.
Yes. Yeah, he flies all the time. Yeah.
9 motorcycles and 6 gas-guzzling powered automobiles.
That's right.
The hypocrite of the week, Harrison Ford. And this is him getting off his one of his jets. That's cool.
I like Harrison Ford because he's done some good things with his plane. Like he went up in the air and he helped a search and rescue mission for a young child that was lost. He actually found him, and he's done some good things. Yeah. I mean, he's a good guy. He's a good actor. But these, you know, social justice warriors, virtue signalers, you know.
Yeah.
Which plane is he going to give up? And that's the question to ask these liberals like Ocasio Cortez. You know, spend $500 on a haircut, you drive around in SUVs, and you are the number one candidate for private air travel. What are you going to give up? How are you going to lead by example? What are you going to do personally to make changes in your life? Not changes in my life. Let's talk about changes in your life first.
How about one of the 9 motorcycles or one of the six automobiles, right? Yeah. Do you need 6 automobiles?
Or one of the homes or whatever else.
How about
the multiple homes,
right?
Right. Yeah, don't lecture me. It's like Obama. He flew to Hawaii. He came back and he lectured all of us on income inequality. Like, honestly, look in the mirror, pal. Seriously.
That was
classic.
It was his 7th trip. Thoughts and prayers go out to California. I'm not exactly sure what's left there, but it does seem like the entire state is on fire now. So.
Yeah, this is what happens this is the best thing when it comes to liberals. Not the best thing, but this is the ironic part. The best part of irony is right here, right? So
it is the result of liberalism. It is
liberal
the result of liberalism. Just
Here's
like, by the
works.
Way, Bernie Sanders. You sent me this morning. Not to shift gears, but Bernie Sanders. Somebody took a picture of him standing in front of an empty grocery shelf.
Yeah,
Bernie,
who's a genius
that's
that did
not,
that one?
That's not capitalism. Take a little trip to any grocery store in Texas, and you'll see that there's all kinds of food there, right?
That's right.
But Bernie, if we employed your policies like Venezuela did, you'll notice that the grocery shelves are now empty.
Yeah, which was a genius to stage them in front of that. But let me talk about liberal policies for a second. We'll end on this. This is how this works, folks. Put liberal policies in place that create the problem. Step one in California was these left-wing liberals that wanted to no more clear-cutting, no more cleaning up the debris, no more prescribed fires like they do in Florida all the time to help to clear the underbrush. We got to let nature be nature, right? So number one, liberal policies create a problem. Now, the result of that
problem.
Let
me add to that, though.
Hold on a second.
Let me add to that, though. The natural brush on the floor, and then, of course, on the power lines, right?
Well, the power lines are because the utility companies had to pump hundreds of millions of dollars into green energy schemes that the state has required them to do, thus diverting money. So, again, creating the crisis, right? So, putting policies in place to create the crisis. Now, step number two, when disastrous things happen from those policies, blame something else. else. In this case, climate they're going to blame climate change, right? It can't be their policy's fault. It must be something different with the environment, right?
No.
Step number three.
The forest floor went up all on its own.
All on its own. Step number three, then, is to come out with your big government, big tax and spend, big heavy regulation, you know, heavy-handed government policy that's going to now fix the problem that you created. And now, and here's where we're at in California. We're on step three now. The state's on fire, and these clowns in the state capitol are talking about doing more green energy, more windmills. You know, PG&E, by the way, is talking about rolling blackouts for the next decade. They're talking about this being an ongoing chronic problem for a decade. It's crazy.
Think about, by the way, the only thing that still moves in California, which is the tech industry. Ask Facebook how they're going to do without power.
Yeah.
Ask Apple how they're going to do without power.
Well, here's the best part, Mike. Right? They'll have their own diesel generators that will power their facilities. No joke.
That's right.
I was reading an article about one of the poor winery folks. They're like, listen, if we lose this wine, this is our whole season, right?
Right.
We'd run a winery.
Those old diesel engines that smoke like crazy.
Exactly. But it's got to be, you know, the wine, these folks in the valley, they're like, you know, our wine's got to be at a certain chilling temperature. This is our whole, we've got wine that we've been now, you know, a whole year's worth of stuff.
Well,
so they had to go out
Hollywood.
They bought a diesel generator. They had to keep the things cold.
And Hollywood can't be without wine. And it's certainly not going to be without power. You can't make a movie. You can't make a $100 million movie where you're blowing up automobiles without power. Right?
Remember they had the drought but all the green grass? Remember that one? They had the drought there.
You couldn't water your lawn, or
you could only shower every other day of the week.
But if you went through Beverly Hills, they had the water fountain still going.
Oh, the grass was all lush.
Their grass
green.
Was great. Yeah, their grass was great.
Unreal.
It's a total joke. All right, on behalf of Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle, we're the Financial Guys. We do manage money for a living, folks. We have a lot of fun with our podcast, our radio shows. If you think like us, use this as a resource. Go to our website, thefinancialguys.com. Like us, subscribe to us on YouTube, right? Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And we'll see you next week right here on the Financial Guys podcast.